It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Well, for the first time ever, you've got a team who's paying a quarterback an ungodly amount of money. And for the first time, you're seeing a crack in whether or not that quarterback has a future with said team. And of course, I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So glad to have you. Perl, it was Andrew Berry, the general manager of the Browns, yesterday. The team's on a bye. Obviously, Deshaun Watson tore his Achilles, so he's out for the rest of the year. And Andrew Berry was asked, basically, what's the plan for Deshaun?
Is there a world in which Deshaun Watson can come back here and play more football for you guys again?
Yeah, I think that's always possible, Mary Kay.
Always possible? I thought that would be a no-brainer, no-doubter. Perloff, even if you don't mean it, what you say to the media when he's still under contract for minimum 3 more years of guaranteed money, why answer it that way? Why answer, yeah, that's possible, when most people believe, oh, he'll rehab his Achilles, just like Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers did, and then he'll be back.
Have you seen the Cleveland Browns? Like, why on earth would he say that? Even that was kind of radical. Everybody in Cleveland expects him to move on. Everybody in America expects him to move on. Even that was like a little overly. That was just I don't want to deal with this now. I'm going to put it off. There's no way he is back in the week one starter next year, and cut that when he is the week one starter. But yeah, they've clearly, like, all their language, like, they've given up on him, as they should, because he can't stay healthy.
Okay, but you can say that. What does that look like? Because again, I tell you, over $100 million in guaranteed money still has to come his way. So is it possible he plays for you? I thought it's more than likely. I mean, his career's not over. It's an Achilles injury. That's not career ending anymore.
But he's had such an injury history leading up to that Achilles injury, and he's a mobile quarterback. So it's unlikely that you're going to see much of him in 2025, I would think, right? Like, is he going to be...
So who is he playing for, though, in the future? Like, who's his next team then, if it's not
the Browns? He probably just sits around in Cleveland for 2 years, like he sat around in Houston. And then, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a real question. Does he ever play again?
See, the funny thing, though, about Houston with Deshaun Watson, if you remember... He voluntarily sat out there, right?
Right, because he had an issue with the owner, yeah.
Totally. He had an issue with the owner. He sat out voluntarily. If you have a guy who's making this much money and he's telling you, I want to come back, I do want to play once his Achilles is healed up, then how do you keep him off the field? You're just going to have him sit there behind, what, a rookie quarterback like Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, and that's all going to go swimmingly fine?
Well, maybe you bridge quarterback him, but it's like, even that doesn't really change the narrative. Like, the Browns are going to commit to a new quarterback this offseason, and whatever happens, they're stuck with Deshaun. Like, what difference does it make if he's there or not there? He has no power. I mean, he's done nothing there.
I get it, but he clearly had enough power to get Joe Flacco out of the building. Flacco is a backup quarterback who they couldn't bring back because I think Deshaun thought that he would, you know, the fans would be clamoring for Flacco every time Deshaun throws an interception or has a turnover. Is he really going to be totally fine with a number 3 overall pick or number 4 overall pick sitting there, and he's supposed to be teaching this guy? I don't see the real life way that works out, kumbaya, and everyone accepts their roles, because I don't think that Deshaun would accept that.
I don't think that anybody's going to give him the opportunity to say, I don't think there's a person in the Browns organization who's going to care. Like, they don't have a choice now. Like, they definitely have to move on. And honestly, I don't think he'll be there week one, in the sense that I don't think he'll be fully healthy, because he's not. Kirk Cousins looked like garbage when he got back. Now he looks good. And Aaron Rodgers has looked so gimpy. Like, I just don't think, because Winston's been so hurt, I think he's going to need a little more time. So I think he comes, he's not going to practice. Like, he won't be there he's not going to be a pain in the neck in spring football. He definitely won't be there. Maybe he's back for training camp, but I kind of doubt that. He's not going to play in the preseason, so I don't think he's going to be in a physical position to make a lot of noise here.
Well, here's the thing about, Kirk Cousins, did he not look good the first game? Maybe not. They're leading the division, though.
Yeah, now he looks good. He's into it.
And they never benched him.
Right, but he's not Deshaun Watson. Like, he doesn't run.
Yeah, but I think that there is a world where Deshaun Watson coming back off of this injury will say, I'll be more of a pocket passer. I mean, he's not a running quarterback like Lamar. It's not where it's like 50-50 or Josh Allen or something like that.
Yeah, but I think his special sauce is his legs. And also, but the other thing too, he's not going to have a preseason. Like, he's not going to, yeah, how can you cause all this trouble if you're like, you didn't show anything on the field? Like, because he's not going to be out there. He's not going to play. Kirk didn't play in the preseason. Rodgers didn't play in the preseason. So Deshaun Watson's going to be like, well, you haven't seen me since then when I was playing poorly. I just don't think I'll have a leg to stand on. No pun intended.
Well, I don't think a lot of guys play the preseason anyway. And at least he would say, well, it's not like I'm coming to a new team.
Yeah, I do think he will be aware of the fact that, like, he needs to earn his way back into a starting job or even playing. No, I don't think, like, he's just physically not in position to really be defiant here. But, honestly, and you can even hear in Andrew Berry's answer, like, he doesn't seem overly worried about it. He's like, I'm just going to put this off. We have no choice. We have the cap hit. Whether he's here or not, I'm drafting a quarterback. That's what I maybe extrapolated a little more out of that eight-word answer. But basically, he said, like, listen, we all know the situation. We're screwed. We have to start over. It's going to be a painful 2 years from cap standpoint, but there's no other option.
We're talking about Deshaun Watson. I just think he's not afraid to get real messy here. And not, you know, you think that if they bring in a rookie quarterback and say they're picking with the fifth overall pick in the draft or something
right.
And they bring in Shedeur Sanders, they bring in Cam Ward.
Yeah, I don't see Shedeur, but anyway.
Okay, sure. Whatever, whoever.
Yeah.
And the media goes to Deshaun. What did you think the night that they drafted him?
Right.
Kirk Cousins didn't answer this question well. Aaron Rodgers, when they drafted Jordan Love, didn't answer this question well. You think all of a sudden Deshaun is the one who's going to be like, you know what, I totally understand what the organization's doing. No, no quarterback does that because they still want to get out and play. And so I think he's not going to say, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm just going to take a step back here and I'm going to teach this young guy how to take my job. No shot.
Yeah, I don't think it's the same situation. I think Deshaun is aware that he was struggling this year.
You don't think he's got answers for why that is? Like, he would say the offensive line wasn't good enough, or you switched up my offensive coordinator and switched up the whole staff. Or he, I think in his mind, he probably doesn't think he's the main reason.
I don't think that's the case. I think Deshaun Watson is aware he needs a career reset. Yeah. And also, too, this is such a devastating, it's so different than for him. Like, he's going to come back. He couldn't stay healthy already. He's really got to get his legs underneath him. I don't think you're going to see the confident, brash Deshaun Watson coming back. You could be right, but I don't think he's going to be like Aaron Rodgers, who was coming off an MVP season. You know, I don't think it's going to be the same as Aaron. Actually, Aaron Rodgers was coming off a down season when they drafted Jordan
Love. Yeah, then he won the MVP.
I'd be very surprised if that's the tone you saw from Deshaun Watson, because I don't think he has a lot of confidence right now. I think that he knows he has to rebuild his career, both mentally and physically. And you said, where is he going to play quarterback again? I think he has a chance, but I think it's going to be so hard for him to do it coming off an Achilles, maybe 2 years from now. And realistically, I don't even think Aaron Rodgers is himself this year. I think you're going to see a much better version of Rodgers next year. So, like, a hobbled Deshaun making a lot of noise there, I don't see it happening. Maybe I'm the naive one.
855-212-4227. We put a poll up at Maggie and Pearl. The question is, is the failure of Deshaun Watson the lowest moment in Cleveland Browns history? Now, there's a lot to choose from here. And no one will tell you that more than Browns fans themselves. The move, the fumble, the drive, hashtag DP, if anyone is on the deep cuts there, and I'm not talking about Dan Patrick. What else we got? 0-16? Yeah?
Giancarlo Stanton hitting a home run every time he steps up to the dish?
Didn't think about that one. Not enough spots on the poll. 65% say yes. This is the lowest moment in Browns history. Three first-round picks, $230 million guaranteed, and it's been a disaster on the field and off the field.
Yeah, I'm curious how many of those people have been Browns fans for 40 years.
Well,
I mean, the move is probably the worst thing that happened, right? Now, you can't argue with that, but you're saying this is worse than... At least they made the playoffs last year. They went 0-16 and 1-15. How do you do worse than that?
They made the playoffs, but not with Deshaun.
Yeah, but
it was addition by subtraction that he left and Flacco was there eventually.
Yeah. Honestly, like, again, at least the Browns were not unique in this case. There are four other teams who would have done anything to get Deshaun Watson in the building.
Yeah, but someone went further, right? They're the ones who went the furthest. They got him in there.
This sounds good now that Deshaun Watson, like, did you say that the day after the Browns signed him?
No, but I also, it wasn't like, no one loved it because of all the women who had accused him of all those things. So no one was like, yes, can't wait to see Deshaun awesome.
But this has nothing to do with, if he was throwing 40 touchdowns a year, nobody would be talking about that. The only reason we're saying this is he's terrible at football right now.
Right, right. And didn't you say before that there's two sides of why he's bad? You think that it's the injuries and also the mental part.
Yes, but I don't think, like, if he... I think Browns fans would be thrilled with him if he was good at football right now. I don't think the reason that this is a disaster, and you and I probably disagree with, is because of all that stuff that happened.
No, I think it combines to make this the lowest moment. Right. I'm agreeing with you. If he was throwing for 40 touchdowns, you're right. No one would say anything. But
yeah, I think that
it's the poo-poo platter here.
I think it's such recency bias because this is a franchise that has been the lowest of the low. I mean, honestly, like, I don't remember any of this, but when your franchise leaves your city in a place like Cleveland,
yeah,
I mean, where the Browns
were
the part of the fabric of that city, and they go to Baltimore, I mean, that is ridiculous.
Doesn't getting a team back take the sting away from that a little bit?
Like, yeah, definitely a little bit, but I mean, listen, they drafted Tim Couch, and like, it's been bad.
No, we know.
Yeah, it's been real bad. The Hugh Jackson era was bad. It's not just that. There's been 100 bad things.
I know. See, and this was supposed to stop those. This was supposed to stop the revolving door of quarterback. This was supposed to be the answer. And now you have people in that city who are just pining for Baker Mayfield. And it's... To me, all that combination is actually worse than going 0-16.
There's also a lot of kind of shame from a lot of other fans that these people embrace Deshaun Watson. Like, there's no shame in you rooting for your team being bad. Like, that's like, we all experience that at some point. Yeah. Some franchises worse than others, Jets, Browns, obviously. But there, I think for a lot of fans, there was shame in embracing Deshaun Watson. That stuff, they can't erase. You can say there's no shame in a guy fumbling in a big play that happens. There's no shame in John Elway beating you that happens. For some folks, there is shame in actually embracing Deshaun Watson, and that's something that they're going to have to live with.
And like, and feeling like you want to give it a chance,
yeah,
right? Mm. And feel like, hey, you know, give it a chance. Maybe the guy has changed.
Yeah.
I mean, true, but these are football fans. I mean, honestly, like... This is a golden era of Browns football compared to what it was 5 years ago. Like, they're winning football games at a rate that they haven't won in a long, long time, which is bizarre.
Well, no, now 5 years ago was the year they made the playoffs. Well, close, 2020, 4 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're on probably the best run they've had since they got there, right? They with Stefanski's 2-time coach of the year. Like, when did that ever happen?
855-212-4227. We had Belichick. But
true.
That was.
But he didn't. He didn't win quite at this level, though. What's his best season? Did he get like 10-6?
His best season was 11-5. They lost the division round that year. 855-212-4227. Is this the lowest moment for the Cleveland Browns? The fact that Deshaun Watson, it's likely he's played his last snap for the Browns. But I don't get how that happens. Like, in real life, I get how it happens on paper. Yeah, got to move on for him. Got to take a painful cap hit. Got to draft another quarterback. It all makes sense, but when you actually put the personalities to it, I think it's going to get real messy. Again, 855-212-4227. You can weigh in on that. You can also watch the show youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and at Maggie Gray on X. Can I also give you results of another poll question I thought was funny? What's the more embarrassing sports moment, getting dunked on in a basketball game or getting trucked in football? This is closer than I thought it would be.
Pretty, I would say they're both so bad. I had trouble picking on this one.
Really? I think getting trucked is far worse.
I think the third option is getting crossed over and falling. That's probably the worst.
Really bad, too.
That's probably the
worst.
For
basketball heads, that's the question we ask in the locker room. Would you rather be dunked on or get your ankles broke?
Ugh. See, the thing about getting trucked, and that's, by the way, that's leading 57% to 43%. Yeah. Getting trucked, it feels like there could be lingering issues from that. Like, you get your bell rung, you might not be able to, like, look at your phone for a week or watch TV for a month.
Well, the physical part has nothing to do with this. It's the humiliation.
The humiliation.
It's so much worse. Guys would take a concussion over the humiliation any day of the week in football. My favorite, I think getting crossover, we should add. Can you edit the poll and add in getting crossover?
Edit the poll, but I could just make a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my favorite crossover, if you, I cite this all the time. One time, Steph Curry crossed over Marcin Gortat, and they turned it into this incredible meme where Marcin Gortat gets so crossed over, he skates off into outer space. Like, those are the funniest videos.
I'm a little disappointed that your favorite Steph Curry crossover is not how he turned around Rudy Gobert like a top five times on one play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That, I mean, you hate Rudy Gobert so much. I thought that would be number one.
Wait, yeah. I thought your favorite crossover all time has got to be Iverson on Jordan.
Yeah. No, I felt bad for Jordan.
Oh, really?
Felt bad for Michael Jordan.
What? Against the guy you on your team?
All Jordan was tragic. Yeah, I could. When Jordan would miss a dunk with the Wizards, it hurt me.
He was in Chicago.
Oh, that was a...
It was the All-Star game, I thought, wasn't it?
No, I thought it was. Oh, I thought it was all Jordan with the Wizards.
Year.
Oh, yeah,
they won 70 games that year.
I remember I feel like I'm remembering an All-Star one. But
I thought it was the All-Star game.
My memory must be bad.
No, Allen Iverson, he had an afro. This was pre-raids Allen Iverson.
Yeah, from the top of the key when he crossed over Michael Jordan.
I thought that was late Jordan in the All-Star game with the Wizards.
This
no?
is legit a top five Sixers moment. And Perloff not knowing when it happened is crazy to me.
I wasn't a huge AI guy.
Oh, I'm like, but that moment, though, is
no, I was like, move the ball, dude. You're never going to win this way.
It's stepping over Tyronn Lue, and then it's the Jordan crossover.
That's Iverson was trying to prove himself as like a rookie, right? I saw that recently.
Yeah, Phil Jackson yells Michael on the switch, and Iverson pulls out and then hits him with the double crossover.
I mean, my favorite play of all time is a dunk, though.
Iverson?
Oh, just a dunk, any dunk, right?
No, one particular dunk.
Oh, Dr. J on Michael Cooper.
That was that's almost grandfathered. But Vince Carter on Frederick Weiss is the all-time funniest play in
history. That's not even, Sixers.
But it's not the Sixers, number one. And
but
two,
Vince Carter's my favorite player.
But that's one of the biggest mismatches ever. Like,
dude, he climbed over a seven-footer.
I know, but Frederick Weiss is just basically standing there.
You think he would rather get trucked, Frederick Weiss, or do you think he'd rather get jumped over?
Can we call him?
That's the best play I've ever seen. No?
It's an incredible play. No, I love that. I'm just saying,
everybody loves that.
You're like, as a Sixer fan, like, as a Knicks fan, I will say, like, we don't actually have a lot of great plays. We have a guy, like, limping out of a locker room and John Starks dunking over Jordan.
LJ.
No, but I mean, like, spectacular. Like, you know, like, my God, or what? Like, we don't have a lot of those. Like, you have, like, Allen Iverson crossing over the greatest of all time. Dr. J going coast to coast, dunking on Michael Cooper in the NBA Finals. Dr. J dunking on Bill Walton 100 times in the NBA Finals. You got, like, some of the coolest stuff in running to Vince Carter and Stephen Curry.
Yeah, but Vince Carter is my favorite player of all time.
It wasn't even in the NBA game.
It was in Olympics. You hate Olympic basketball.
Saying it's fake.
But we're talking about humiliating plays. He literally had his man parts resting on Frederick Weiss's head.
It's the greatest.
The part about the reason I like Vince Carter's play more than anything is that he had the audacity to do that. Like, the mental thing is like, wait, I'm going to jump over the seven-footer. Like, just whatever triggered in his brain that he was going to try that, it's a little bit like...
You don't think that Iverson showed audacity when he tried to... when he crossed over Michael Jordan as a rookie?
Iverson crossed over 35 players a game.
As a rookie, though, you're taking on MJ.
No, I don't think that had... that's not like Saquon Barkley trying to do a reverse jump.
Oh my God.
No, Iverson crossing over...
Saquon jumping over a person.
No. I mean, like, the creativity like of that. Like, I need, like, something like, why would that guy try that? Like, Iverson crossing over Jordan was... not like that. That's a totally different thing. He probably crossed him over four other times that game, right? I mean, that was his move. But if you, like, do top five plays of all time, like, I feel like Jordan, when he reversed course against Ewing, that is... You know that dunk?
That play sucked.
Awesome dunk.
What's that?
Terrible play for Knicks fans, but awesome play.
No, that play sucked.
Yeah. I love Tom Chambers climbing up on that guy. There's, like, five dunks that are, like, all... everybody knows.
None of them are Dr. J.
And Dr. J on Cooper. Yeah, one.
Oh, I'm about to say, can we get some love for Dr. J?
Oh, I'm a huge guy. Yeah. But you're talking about, like, the most humiliating. We were talking humiliating. You know, like, those were great plays, but were they really, like, were they shoving it in a guy's face like Derrick Henry stiff-arming Josh Norman?
I don't know. DeAndre Jordan putting Brandon Knight into the floor at Staples Center a couple of years ago. That was pretty embarrassing.
A couple more, like, 13 years
I was going to say.
A long time ago.
You know, I'm impossible. One thing about me playing basketball, you can't cross me over. You can't cross me over. I'm too slow to get to the first move, so I'm still standing there by the time you get back. Guys have tried to cross me over, and I just steal it from them. I'm like, you thought I was going to move. Can't
brilliant
do
move.
It.
This is like Tom Brady would go down before he could sack him. Like, not on my watch.
It's not by choice. Like, a guy crosses me over, he's probably pretty fast, and I'm just standing there trying to move, react to the first move.
855-212-4227. So, yeah, you can weigh in on that. The what's more humiliating, getting trucked or getting dunked on?
A kid in high school I knew got dunked on during a varsity game, and that would carried with him for the next 3 years. So,
yeah, kids are cruel.
I saw an NBA player credit Sean Bradley, the ultimate poster guy, for getting gets dunked on so many times famously. Yeah. They said, well, at least he's trying to block the shot. Like, he's like, that shows a lot of effort and heart.
Listen, I think if you're a center, it comes with the territory.
Yeah,
you know you're going to get dunked on. Like, if you're anyone on a football field, you're not expecting really to get trucked. Maybe the linebacker, safety, stuff like that, but that's hard.
I agree with that.
I feel bad for the kids in high school when something like that happens and it stays with you forever.
Oh, Christoph.
And now on the parent side of it, I'm so worried that that's something like that's going to happen to my kid, and all of a sudden they're going to be forever known as like
kid who got yammed
cheese whiz
on.
Or something. It's like, oh, cheese whiz, look at them out there. You don't worry about this for your kids?
For football? No.
For sports, like, for anything.
No, I mean, I have girls who can't. They're not great at sports.
So that's not really the currency with
women.
Yeah,
no, it means more to boys. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, I just don't think where my girls circle. Yeah, for boys, that'd be bad. Or just, like, striking out. And I went to watch Andrew Bogus's kid play, and it was so scary to watch him up. I'm like, please, Jake, do not screw this up. He was very good that game. So
yeah, he didn't.
It's painful to watch kids, like your kids. It's stressful as all get out.
I know. I'm worried, like, any bad Halloween costume, something, like, gonna put my kid in a shirt. I feel bad even saying this now, and I hope that this person will have forgiven us after all these years. There was a kid in my elementary school who had the audacity to go to space camp, okay?
Jim.
Oh.
We called him Sally Ride until graduation. Like, not cool. I'm not proud of it. It just became his name. Not cool.
Self-induced.
I'm owning up to it. I feel terrible about it. All he did was go to NASA camp. Like, it's a crime.
Yeah, I think you lost the young people there.
Oh, sorry. 855.
They're like,
she was an astronaut.
They're like, space shuttle. What's a space shuttle?
Well, it's one of Elon's things. We're back in a minute.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. You know what that music means. Cowboy Quickie, what's the latest good news out of Dallas, Maggie?
Well, I'll tell you right after I explain that this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. Well, thank you for asking. The latest to come out of the Cowboys, obviously not good news on Dak Prescott. Looks like the hamstring, according to Jane Slater, part of it was torn off the bone.
It sounds bad.
Ugh. So IR feels like it's going to happen and missing even more time than that. So as Cooper Rush prepares to take over for Dak, let's not forget about Trey Lance. Here's the third string quarterback and former top pick talking about how he is ready if the opportunity calls.
I talked to the coaching staff about that. I'd love the opportunity to get on the field any way I can, if that's what the coaches think is best.
More from Lance saying going through the full offseason gives him confidence he can step in.
Yeah, last year was probably a whole different story, but, having gone through the whole offseason program and this season, up to this point, great coaches, great guys around me, so, yeah, I feel prepared, if that opportunity does happen at some point.
P.S. Cooper Rush, check the brakes on your car, man, because I think Lance really wants an opportunity to get in there and see what he can do. And to be honest, if I'm the Cowboys, how many games of Cooper Rush do you go through before you go to Lance just to showcase him for the rest of the league and try to flip him?
Okay, well, you got to know for sure that Dak is done, right? Like, because say somehow they upset the Eagles, 6.5-point underdogs, and Cooper wins this game, then maybe Dak find some. Dak was talking about some secret sauce to get back earlier. Did you see his quotes? He's like, I'm looking for alternative way. Or somebody said that he's looking
for. Uh-oh. He's talking to Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. Off the bone sounds bad. But you, in your model there, you're assuming Dak is done, which I kind of agree with. If that's the case, you get, once you're eliminated for the most part, then you go to Cooper. Once you lose your eighth game, you're out. But Cooper Rush is not bad. He's a very solid NFL backup. Very solid. Because you want your backup to know the system, and Cooper Rush knows this offense better than probably Dak Prescott.
That's your Cowboy question?
Do you have such low expectations for Cooper Rush?
I guess
Atlanta's prevent, he was balling. He's going to throw those little 6-yard passes to Jake Ferguson. It's going to be really mediocre to watch and effective in a slow, plodding way.
Can't wait.
Wow, way to sell it.
Yeah, I mean, this is Cooper Rush. What did you expect?
Lamar Jackson?
Come on.
Terrible season that just continues to get worse for the Cowboys. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines.
And they are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to support veterans and small businesses with their annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Deeper. This... I don't know what that was. That sounded personal.
That was you. That would be Allen Iverson.
This is what Al Michaels has been waiting for. An elite Thursday night matchup as the Ravens host the Bengals. They have already played one overtime thriller this fall. Cincy head coach Zach Taylor.
These divisional games, again, it's always stated when you play these games. We know them well. They know us well. It was a great game. The last time we played them, we came up short. And excited for the opportunity to get another crack at him in third place.
The Bengals are 3-1 since that game, now 4-5 overall. Wideout T. Higgins is doubtful with the quad injury. It's already cost him 2 games. Tackle Orlando Brown Jr. is a game time call with a leg injury. The Ravens will not have tight end Isaiah Likely. Bryce Young makes his third straight start when the Panthers meet the Giants in Germany on Sunday morning. And Doug Peterson couldn't say yesterday if Trevor Lawrence will face the Vikings, the QB reportedly dealing with a shoulder problem. We have already heard how much J.J. Redick dislikes the Lakers this morning. Now it is Ja Morant's turn.
I don't like them. They knocked me out of the playoffs. And then last year we had a game and they came in here and popped it on our home floor when I was in street clothes. So I wasn't a night.
Ja said that after scoring 20 in a 131-114 home win. The game included him and LeBron each doing the too small celebration. Ja
punched.
One point ran into LeBron's back on purpose. He did leave this one early with a right hamstring issue. No post-game update on that.
I actually was surprised when I saw that headline. I thought everybody in the NBA had to pay homage to LeBron James. Like, how can you not like LeBron? I thought you had to like LeBron.
Well, he kind of said it in the quote. He's like, he's the big dog. Like, right, he's the top dog.
So
I think he kind of acknowledged it, but says, like, I don't like him. But he did say.
Right. So did he temper it by, like, don't get me wrong, I love LeBron, but I don't like this team. Like,
he said it that way.
Yeah, I feel like the Lakers are an honorary team. Like, you don't take them seriously, but at least you show respect to LeBron.
I think Ja Morant and Anthony Edwards are both showing that they... The way that they talk, at least, is not like this, LeBron love fest.
No, they might love them,
they also want to take them down.
I wasn't aware. Like, Anthony Edwards says, like, things about, like, but LeBron's not, like, their team isn't that good right now, so you can't take
LeBron
them down.
LeBron was talking crazy to Bronny in that first game. I mean, AMC, Anthony Edwards talking crazy to Bronny in that.
What was he saying?
There was a trash talk moment. I wish I remember. I'm going to try to look it up in 10 seconds.
Oh, this
I did not know that.
The Cavs are 9-0 for the first time ever after a 131-122 win in New Orleans. Zion was back after missing two of the quad issues, scoring 29 in the loss.
By the way, Anthony was quote to Bronny was reportedly, "You ain't got a shower after the game, my boy. You played 3 minutes. You good."
Oh, my goodness.
That's what he said. You don't have to shower.
He is the character in, what's it called? In Hustle.
Hustle.
He's Kermit.
He's 20 times that. He is unbelievable.
Even Sandler couldn't write it over the top.
I don't know how he has the energy to play basketball. He talks so much. But he's amazing.
He told Jared Vanderbilt in that same game, "You haven't played in 3 years. You were always in street clothes. Why are you sitting on the bench in street clothes?"
Oh, my goodness.
Andrew, you got to see this Anthony Edwards kid play. It's the most amazing thing I ever saw. Yeah. Sandler was on that. He's like, Anthony Edwards is going to be the biggest star in the NBA. He told me that on the set of Hustle. He said all the other NBA guys are in awe of him. For what it's worth, including Juancho Hernan Gomez is Maggie's favorite NBA player for reasons that have nothing to do with basketball.
Well, if they did have to do with basketball, I'd have horrible taste, excuse me, but my eyesight works.
I'm pretty sure he's not in the NBA anymore either.
I can watch games in Spain.
Yeah.
Olympics every 4 years.
Shorts are still short.
World Cup
arms are still out.
I've got a couple of live illegal streams that I can tap into.
I said to Sam, man, I'm like, do I have to go shirtless? Like, apparently Hernan Gomez is in every scene. Like, where's the guy's shirt? Get wardrobe on him.
Yeah. In fact, put on a jacket. Forget about shirtless, Perloff.
We're going to have a reporter number two is going to be wearing a spacesuit. It's a little, it's not conservative.
Well, Bruce, how's it feel getting into the combine?
I got to be honest, you guys, Perloff was so good at that movie, though, I don't even want to poke fun.
Poke fun all you want.
You were great in that movie.
I actually are. I have an IMDb page.
You do.
Yeah.
Didn't even recognize him when I saw it.
You're kidding.
Also, it was before I met you.
You didn't. I get that a lot. Oh, I saw you in Hustle.
My barber says he knows you as the guy from Hustle.
I'm telling you, Perloff had one four scene. Lines.
When I pulled up, I'm sitting in his chair because my barber is now. These are home appointments now, and he's like, "Oh, pull up the show you're on." And I pull up the show, and the first graphic is, of course, a graphic of you guys. And he looks at the picture and says, "Isn't that guy an actor?" And I'm like, "Are you serious?" He's like,
no.
"Yeah, I saw him in a movie." And I was like, "Well, he wasn't. He wasn't Hustle." He's like, "Yeah, I saw him in that movie."
I mean, did he ever see my work and That's My Boy?
Is he familiar?
Then I go down the IMDb page. Yes. We went to more LeBron Bronny takes.
Because Hustle was different because I actually had to say words. That was very challenging. But I did a lot of acting in another Sandler movie that I think is being underappreciated here. That's My Boy, when I was holding the boom mic over Adam Sandler, who was having dirty talk with Susan Sarandon. Have you guys ever acted in a scene with Susan Sarandon, who we weren't allowed to look in the eye for 2 hours there?
You thought about what team you want to play for?
We bow down. No, it was great. You really had a presence. And the camera just is right on you.
Yeah, I wish Anthony Edwards was there that day. By the way, even in that movie, like he was like, his moves on the movie were pretty awesome.
Yep.
Have you guys watched Have you guys watched the Netflix thing?
No.
The basketball story?
Yeah, the Files Anthony Edwards episode. Around.
I didn't get to the Edwards part yet.
Yeah, I know. I gave up after one episode. But Anthony Edwards, they said, like, this is what's going to make this guy great. He's the best. He's the most entertaining guy we have.
Why'd you give up, Pearl?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Nobody
why
was
I
killed.
Yeah.
It's not a crime. Well,
there was no mystery to solve.
Wait, Jimmy Butler's not a serial killer? Oh, this thing sucks.
Well, like, wide receiver was interesting. BCI, I got to learn about players. I don't need any more access to LeBron James. I seem to have access to every thought the man has. Like, I don't need a document. Like, whoa, inside the life of LeBron James. So that's what, yeah. I mean, he's
like, hey, did you know he loves his wife?
Yeah, I know.
Hey.
He's got a lot of content
good.
Out
it's
there.
It's great. It doesn't feel as real as the other ones.
No, they picked, but they didn't pick like a lesser player, right? That's what you got to do. That's the best part, to see Marcus Mariota. Like, you can't do five superstars.
Sabonis is all star, not a superstar.
He's their afterthought. I haven't seen an episode with him yet. Anyway, how do we get on? John Morant doesn't like.
Correct.
Now that would be interesting to watch John Morant 24/7.
I feel like it'd be dangerous for the camera crew.
Well. I don't know. That's a guy who
NBA basketball.
I was going to say, Ja runs in some pretty tough circles.
But hasn't he changed all that? I assumed.
The Nike commercial suggests.
Sure.
Wait, I'm being dead serious. Hasn't Ja Morant like kind of rebooted his life a little bit?
I mean, that's what they told us the last time. And then he was waving his gun on Instagram.
Ask us again in about 6 months.
Was he doing another apology with Jalen Rose?
I don't know. Dude did a reverse 360 in air.
I still can't get over that Nike commercial where he's talking about how much better a person he is. He's playing basketball in the backyard with kids. That is
not punching.
I could not believe
it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. I know. I guess they're trying to say, see,
he can play
basketball
a waiver.
With kids and not have an incident where that gun gets pulled.
Take this the is so funny. Like, I'm the blind optimist. I believe the Nike commercials where John Morant has another person, and Maggie and the rest of you guys are all cynical.
We've got some evidence.
It was John go get a bucket.
The Cavaliers are 9-0 for the first time ever. Oh, I already mentioned that. The Thunder lose for the first time this season, 124-122 in Denver. The Warrior win streak is 5 after a 118-112 win in Boston. And the Hawks snuck past the Knicks, 121-116. Number one pick, Zachary Risache, 33 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. Just a reminder for Pearl, Creighton's 7-footer Ryan Kalkbrenner scored 49 points last night, hitting 20 of 22 shots. His 15th-ranked Blue Jays topping UT Rio Grande Valley 99-86 in their opener.
I don't need a reminder. I was there in 2013 when he played Hunter Dickinson in the Sweet 16. I mean,
and Mario Chalmers with that big shot.
No, he's he's 22. He's 22 in college basketball terms. That's like Tom Brady playing at 45. To be 22 and be a good basketball player?
Right, to be good and playing 22 in college basketball is old.
I think when you're 22, you're peaking in the NBA.
Oh, you're a little old. It's like, well, he's 22, you know. He's no Jalen Green. He's kind of seen the best of that guy.
Less drama for third-ranked UConn last night. 92-56 winners over Sacred Heart. And Columbia, a 90-80 surprise win at unranked Villanova. Oof. Yesterday, we talked about Blues forward Dylan Holloway, who was stretchered off the bench during Tuesday night's game after getting hit in the neck by the puck. Holloway back with the team yesterday, apparently perfectly fine. Here is what happened in his own words.
As soon as the puck hit my neck, I knew something was a little off. As soon as I started skating, I felt a little lightheaded a bit. And then when I was going to the bench, it kind of felt like when you stand up too fast and you kind of get like that head rush. It felt like that, but it just kind of kept coming on, and then I was out.
That's unintentionally funny to be like, I knew something was wrong when the puck hit me in the neck.
Well, yeah, but normally you get hit in the neck with a puck and be fine, right? Like, that's not something that's...
But how often does this happen? Not, like, twice a game.
Yeah, I think...
I mean, is their neck protected by the pads, usually?
No.
So, yeah, it probably happens multiple times. Those guys get...
Hit in the neck by the puck is not a regular occurrence. I think when you do, normally you're like down and out immediately. So the fact that he was like skating and feeling weird, I think, is what he was saying. And apparently the puck hit a nerve. Oof. And that's what caused all of this.
Isn't that how you do a sleeper hold in pro wrestling?
Maybe.
You cut off the carotid artery. That's how the announcer said it. I don't know. EJ, you're a wrestling guy. How's a sleeper hold work?
Something like that.
The guy pretends to sleep.
Or in the movies, you know.
Hey, James Bond, how'd you pull off that sleeper hold?
It's like, a sleeper hold, like you...
It's written right here.
Like, you don't strangle them to death.
You cut off that artery
on the side of their head and they fall asleep. I used to do it on my brother all the time.
Is that right?
Well, he was
How's
pretending
he
to sleep. We used to... All we did together was fake pro wrestling, and I put a sleeper hold on him. And
it's all
maybe
brothers are for.
What's that?
That's all brothers are for.
And sisters. I got put in many a camel clutch.
Oh, there you go.
And it sucked.
Oh, by your brother.
Yeah.
Two sisters doing camel clutch?
Yeah.
I was the younger sister.
Figure four and sharpshooter.
Girl, you got it.
You know, I actually think I could survive a camel clutch. I never thought that was a great submission move. Like...
Are any of them not survivable?
What's the one that, you just said that Sergeant Slaughter used to do?
The Cobra.
That's not going to knock you out. That's not scary. The figure four, I used to execute a poorly designed figure four on my brother all the time. We couldn't figure it out.
I had a friend who knew how to do the figure four, and I was like, you're going to break my leg. You need to get off.
I thought the craziest finishing move was the Jake the Snake Roberts when he put a snake on somebody. That leaves an impression on a kid.
Yeah.
What was the snake named? It was a woman's name, wasn't it?
Slither.
No.
How many kids have been accidentally injured by doing just a pile driver? Is not good to do to your brother. Like, RKO'd. I got in some trouble for that. Yeah,
That was a little after my time, but yeah.
jumping off the top rope. That ruined many a bedroom prop in our household.
That was many a kid ending up in a cast because of that.
Kids used to RKO each other in the high school hallways back in my day.
Halcyon times.
3 months ago, back in my day.
Last year.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break. Bogish, thank you so much. Bogues, can you stick around for a second? We want to get your take on, we're putting it down on paper today, the day Juan Soto signs, the amount he signs for, and the team he signs with. It's Maggie and Perloff. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back. All right, quickly, Bogus, got to get you in on this. We're doing the day, the amount, and the team that Juan Soto is going to sign with. We're writing it down. This is it. This is the last say you get before we go through a long off season.
All right, I'm going, this is like Clue for sports. I'm going January 20th.
Okay.
Mets. 10 years, 725.
Oh, my God. All right, EJ, you got that written down?
All,
got it right up here? Right
in
up
the
here.
Noggin.
Perloff's got it.
10 years, 70, 70, that's a lot.
Oh, I know.
We all went
that's
like,
dynamite analysis you can only get here on the Maggie and Perloff show.
We all went like 12 to 15. 10 years, that is insane.
Okay.
All right,
just
we got to. We got to get. Well done.
I'm not, saying your guess is insane. I'm saying that number is insane. Like the fact that that's somewhat realistic is like, whoa, we're getting big numbers in the mix.
Let's talk about tonight's game. You got the Bengals at the Ravens, Perloff. We've talked about whether this is like a quote unquote must win for the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's get you a little bit as far as the betting is concerned. The line right now, 6 points in favor of the Ravens. The over under set at 53.
Yeah.
How are you leaning?
Ravens. Now, the Ravens do this thing where they get way up and let the other team back in, and Joe Burrow probably will take advantage of that. But, man, like, if you get close enough in a game with the Ravens and they get to unleash, we're talking about finishing moves, they have the ultimate NFL finishing move.
Mm.
Derrick Henry. Like, he's going to, the Bengals can't stop anybody, and they've done okay against terrible teams like the Raiders. This is going to be so much fun. I'm so excited for this game. I hope it is 48 to 41. But I definitely would take the Ravens to the points. I have no fear of that spread.
Interesting. So, obviously, the last time these two teams played, game that went to overtime, final score in that game, 41 to 38. So, I would have to lean the over in this game because I do think that it's going to be another shootout. I don't think the Ravens have a good defense. So, I would take the over. But I'm going to take the Bengals plus the points. Okay. We've talked about the desperation that the Bengals have to be feeling in this game. They're 4-5 on the year. I don't know if anyone was really expecting the Steelers to get out to this type of start, right? You had two quarterbacks. It was a whole thing in the offseason. Steelers are 6-2. Their schedule is about to get a lot tougher. Ravens are 6-3. The Bengals cannot afford to go to 4-6 here. Right? This feels so do or die on the season that I have to believe in the power of Joe Burrow to just will his team to get as close as possible. So I would take the points, and I would also sprinkle the money line here, which is plus 210.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally I totally agree with that, and I want the Bengals to win, so my Super Bowl pick is still alive. I think the Ravens might be the best team in the NFL. I can't believe how good this offense is because you got Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson feels like the game is slowed down so much. And it's not just that. I'm going to give Lamar credit for this. His receivers are so confident. Even Nelson Aguilar looks explosive. Zay Flowers is a joystick. And Rashad Bateman looks like a star now. And you're not even mentioning, I know Likely's not playing tonight. You have the best tight end combo in the league. Who do you stop? Like, you're the Bengals can't stop anyone. But, like, if you're a good team going against the Ravens, say you're the Chiefs, like, what's your strategy? What part of the game of the Ravens is a weakness?
Well, we saw them play the Chiefs already. It was a low-scoring game. It was the season opener, and it came down to a toenail.
That was different. Right, that was a season opener. I think the Ravens are very comfortable in Todd Monken's offense. Their defense stinks, which is even more entertaining. But I think the Ravens are... I think they're the team to watch this year. And I don't even care if they lose tonight. I really think they are gearing up for us. Whatever the wall they keep hitting in the postseason, with Derrick Henry there, I think they're going to get over that wall. If I could do my Super Bowl pick again, I would pick the Chiefs or the Ravens.
I thought you said the Lions. The Lions are the best team in the NFL.
No, the AFC.
Talked about them. Okay.
Yeah, AFC. Well, even the Lions without Hutchinson. If you had Hutchinson, yes, I would say the Lions are the best team. But no, they're back in that mix.
They just went to Green Bay and almost knocked Jordan Love out of the game. He probably should have been knocked out of the game.
Yeah. But the rain. And Jordan Love, still, Green Bay outgained him 400 to 200. So that Lions defense, I think the Ravens are really interesting this year. The fact that Lamar has two MVPs and is having his best season, that's incredibly interesting to me. Like, how does he's taken a next step, so voters are going to have a really hard decision. Because they don't want to give him a third MVP.
I'm sorry, Manny, you got my ear and said what now about the Panthers?
Chuba Hubbard has signed a 4-year extension with the Carolina Panthers.
They had to go all the way to Germany for that?
That's why they're there.
Do you get it in Euros? All right, well.
Yeah, I don't. Chuba Hubbard once signed a 2-week extension on my fantasy football team.
Was it as lucrative? Maybe for you.
Yeah. That's probably a situation like the Panthers are like, man, we got to get to that floor of who we're paying.
Oh, yeah, like, there is a salary cap and there's a salary floor.
I can't think of who would they possibly be invested in? Derek Brown is hurt. He got paid, right? But generally, like, that's now they're building around Chuba. Thanks, Manny. That was really helpful.
The news flying in today. Thank you, DJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez. Thank you to Andrew Bogish and Andrew Kaplan, Widow's Coffee Drinkers. You make this thing go. We appreciate it. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.